one of the most important topics that I've ever run across in my life as a Christian, and it's one I've struggled with a great deal to understand, and it's one that has been an incredible blessing to me the last few weeks when I've done the study and the research and the prayer and the thought into the Father heart of God. And somebody has said, you know, we understand Jesus pretty well because we have the four Gospels, and because he lived a life in front of men, and he did all the things that men do. We understand Jesus pretty well. The Holy Spirit, those of us who are charismatics, Pentecostals, Assemblies of God, whatever we want to call ourselves, we kind of really, you know, we kind of understand the Holy Spirit pretty well too. But there was a book written years ago, and it had one of the saddest titles, but I think accurate, called The Forgotten Father. And what the idea was is that Christians, especially modern Christians, have almost forgotten or misunderstood who God the Father is. And because this is Father's Day, I thought it'd be a good time to talk about God the Father. I'm going to be relentlessly positive, I have to tell you right now, okay? There's enough negativity out in the world about who a father is, the father is. To me, all the negativity directed towards fathers by the world many times is an indirect attack on God the Father. Because God the Father, if you don't remember anything I say, and that's fine, remember this, God the Father's heart is a heart of love and compassion and understanding and forgiveness and mercy towards every one of us all the time, 24/7. Whether we mess up or don't mess up, we fix the church, we drill like I do and mess up the church, whatever we do, God's heart of love and compassion and mercy is relentless, okay? Relentless. I call it a fierce love, a love that transcends anything we can possibly understand or imagine, okay? I know some of us have had father issues. I get that. I understand that. I've been there myself. That's not important. Because our real father, okay, you ever hear people talk about their real father? Oh, I have an adopted family, my real father. Our real spiritual father, the one who will count for eternity, is that person full of love and compassion and understanding and forgiveness and mercy all the time. We need to get this into our heads, into our hearts, most importantly, into our spirits. If we don't have it in our spirit, we'll spend a good part of our life. Oh, man, my car broke down. Wow, can't pay the bills this week. Okay, my wife and I had a fight. Okay, the weather stinks. It's been raining a lot. Haven't been able to mow the grass. Just got fired from my job. Okay, God, you love me so much, so why can't I make this thing work? I mean, that's how our minds work. Am I wrong, or am I the only one? Okay. No, we all go to that place. It's natural. In both senses, human nature natural, and natural not supernatural natural. In other words, God has not forgotten about your bills. He hasn't forgotten that you need a car to get to work. He remembers the fact that you and your wife need to get along better with each other than you do sometimes. He knows every part of your life from start to finish. In fact, he knows the finish before you do, or before I do. He knows the day that we will come to see him and live with him forever. Okay? Some of you have the world's greatest dads and have been the world's greatest dads. I know that because I see cups that say number one dad. And I've seen a lot of them, so I know that's how you got. But tell me, as good as you are, or as good as your dad or your granddad was, or your uncle, or people you've met along the way, they are pale in comparison to the father that each of us shares. Do you know why we call each other brothers and sisters? My last name is Cahill. It's not Smith or Jones. How in the heck are we brothers and sisters? I'm white and I burn like a son of a gun, you know? Okay, our African brothers don't have that problem, you know? They have beautiful music and singing. And how can we call ourselves brothers and sisters? How? Because we have the same father. Every one of us is related to those in the kingdom of God, to each other on a deeper level than you could ever be as a twin. Because you see, if you're a twin, your brother could be saved and you might not be, or the other way around. When you die, you're going one place. Unfortunately, he's going somewhere else. When you're related to the brothers and sisters here, we're all going in the same direction, brother, okay? Sister, we're all going there, okay? Some of us get there sooner than others. I may be ahead of you. It's okay. I'll be, it's okay. But you know what? You know, we have the same Father. Well, let's talk about who and what. And in other words, if we have this Father, why are we so afraid to, like, talk to him? Any of you have grown-up kids? I have some kids call me every week. You know, my son calls me up every Saturday, Sunday, he calls me. I have another son who's like, I call him. A couple months goes by, hey, Dad, how you doing? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, goodbye. Okay. I know he loves me. I love him, but he just doesn't talk much. Okay? He's just not a talker. God wants us to talk to him. We call it prayer. Okay? But if I'm Dad sitting there for the phone to ring, it's like the phone's not ringing. I call him. He doesn't call me back. It's like, you know. Well, God doesn't get discouraged. God is relentless and fierce in his love and never gives up and says, Joe, I don't care. I can wait you out. You have 70, 80 years. I've got eternity. You're going to spend time with me one way or the other. You might as well get used to it now. In other words, he wants, the other thing is, God desires above all things fellowship with us-ins. He wants us in fellowship with him. Do you know what one of the major purposes of all of redemption was? Yes, we got our sins forgiven. That is true. Okay? Yes, we're going to heaven. That's good. Okay? Yes, we don't have to live in fear. That's wonderful. It's so he could restore the fellowship that was present at the Garden of Eden when he used to walk with Adam in the cool of the night. And, you know, hey, how are those, you know, plums doing, you know? Well, actually, I don't like plums that much. Well, the apples are doing well. Good. They could talk with each other in the cool of the, about the garden that he had put there forever. In other words, God delights in relationship, not just, you know, those plums are looking pretty crappy, Joe. You know, I don't want to say anything, but, you know, you better work a little harder. I'm working on the, no. God's relationship with us is about the love between the Father and the Son. Now, the Son. Do you know what Jesus is almost always referred to in the Scriptures as, when they refer to him as the Son? He's called the Son of God, but the only begotten Son, okay, whom he loves. The only begotten Son whom he loves. But you know what? I think God spiritually believes in really big families. He wasn't content to have the only begotten Son in whom he poured his love and pours his love. He wanted to have other sons and daughters, and we're looking at them here, okay? In other words, he wants a really, really big family. And he's not content with 70 or 80 people in Schoharie County or 10,000 in Singapore. He invites every single human being to join that family. That's what evangelism is about. Joining the family of the Father in heaven so he could have all of these sons and daughters in fellowship with him, not just in eternity, but now too. Do you remember when, well, you don't probably, when I was a kid, I remember this, okay? I would be driving in the car with my mom and dad, 53 Buick or something, black, it was always black. And I was little, I was like 6 years old, and all I remember was I sat there, and all I knew was I was going to be good. I was going to sit in the car, I was going to fall asleep, wake up at Montgomery Ward's and out there in Board of Elite that way, and we'd buy something and go back. Or I'd go to the baseball game with my grandfather, whatever. I never was worried about the trip in the car. I always fell asleep in the car. To this day, when I get in a bus, I fall asleep immediately. Okay, why was that true when I was 6 years old? I had complete confidence that they would take care of me. I didn't know anything about traffic laws, rules. I didn't know enough. I was in my mom and dad's car. I was going to be okay. God gives us that same confidence in him that we are going to be okay with him that I got in that car as a six-year-old child. In other words, he's got this steering wheel, not me. He's got the car, not me. No matter what happens, he's going to be with me. Corrie Ten Boom has a beautiful part of her book called In the Hiding Place. She had been in a terrible concentration camp. Her sister had died in it. She was miraculously saved from it. She had hidden Jews in her home. And when she was let out of the concentration camp, she had a ministry of evangelism. She had seen dreadful things. It was a concentration camp. She was Dutch. She gave a sermon one time about forgiveness. And in the sermon on forgiveness, somebody came up to her afterwards who she recognized, who had been a prison guard at the same camp that her sister had died in and had been cruel to her sister. She recognized him immediately. And the guy comes up to her, this is a few years after the Second World War, comes up to her. Corrie was an older woman, not real old, but like in her, you know, I mean, young to me, but like in her 50s. But anyway, comes up to her and says, oh, Sister Ten Boom, how wonderful that you talk about God's love and forgiveness. And he puts his hand out to shake her hand. Corrie Ten Boom had seen her sister suffer and die torture at this guy's hands. It doesn't get any worse than that in my book. It doesn't, okay? And Corrie said she felt nothing, but out of an act of obedience, out of an act of obedience to the Father, she extended her hand to this man who had killed her sister, essentially. When she put her hand in his, she could feel the power of God and the Holy Spirit, boom, like electricity going through her body, because she had been able, as an act of obedience to God, to forgive the person who had done the worst thing possible, because she loved her sister. She loved her sister, that any person could do. You understand? And then she knew what God's forgiveness was all about. Listen, guy cut you off in a parking space. God forgive him. He cut me off in a parking space. You know? The Mets lost to Atlanta. Oh, God forgive the Atlanta for beating my Mets, you know? Okay, I can forgive him for those things. Okay, I can deal with that. You know, even the Boston Red Sox losing the Yankees, I bet Ray could forgive them for that, perhaps. Okay. However, there are some deep things in our heart which are hard to forgive. Hard. Okay? The brothers and sisters who were killed in Charleston. The people who were killed by ISIS. Okay? Kids. I work with abused and neglected kids every day of my life. Not in my life, but every day at my work. That's what I work with. It's hard to see kids in that kind of pain and suffering and stuff. Don't forget this. God has forgiven us everything we've ever done or ever will do after we were forgiven. In other words, after we became Christians, not just before, when bad old days, you know, BC they call it, before. Afterwards, when we knew the grace of God and the mercy and the love of Him, He still has forgiven us everything we've done. How can we not forgive the people around us for the things they do? Because their offense is primarily against whom? God, not us. We're just sort of in the way, you know? We just sort of in the line of fire. But the real offense is against God, and God's heart is one of complete, total, 1,000% forgiveness. Because why? Because He wants to restore the fellowship. And for us, it's the same. When our brothers or sisters offend us or we offend them, the forgiveness is not just, oh, you know, I got to forgive them. I got to forgive. God says, forgive. Oh, yeah, I forgive your brother. Yeah, whatever, but you're a pain in the butt. No, okay. That's not really forgiveness. What really forgiveness is entering into the God's fierce, relentless love and say, I forgive you because God has forgiven me way more. And that, if Corrie Ten Boom could put her hand out, her sister was killed, can we not say to somebody who's kind of mean, nasty, whatever it is, oh, you know, can we not feel, well, I'll tell you, so this is the introduction, by the way. Okay. This is the introduction. So I'm almost done with it now. I'm almost done with the introduction. Okay. So you think I'm kidding, but I'm not. Okay. I will shorten this up a bit because I probably can't stay here for 3 hours, though I would very much like to. I got to tell you, now, you guys don't know this. Ray gets blessed twice, or three times anyway. You know, one of the blessings Ray gets that when you spend time in the Word of God, guess what gets transformed? You do. In other words, God when you have to teach something to other folks, anybody who, you know, ever taught anything, it's like, I don't get calculus. I don't get trigonometry. How am I going to teach this? I guess I got to learn it, you know. Well, some things I couldn't learn, like those two things. But you know what? God's word can penetrate our heart and allow us to give his heart of love to people around us. The Father heart of God is poured out in us so we can pour it out to others. We're not meant to keep it at home. In other words, he likes big families, spiritually speaking. There's not a single person on the face of this planet he isn't wooing right this moment towards him. But somebody said earlier, you know, he uses us folks to do it. And so if we don't do it, how does God's love get manifested to that person if we don't manifest it one way or the other? Okay, so since my introduction is just about done, now, I will have to cut back significantly like that, but I will say a few things. Something I shared with the elders, okay? One of the traits of God, the Father, is this, his compassion. Don't have to open up your Bibles, I'll read it to you. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. If you're a parent, or even if you're not, there is times when you get a big wake-up call. You get that phone call you don't want to get, you know. You end up at some place you don't want to be because one of your loved ones is in a bad place, okay? All of us, if we live long enough, we're there. It could be a hospital, a prison. It could be, you know, your front doorway. But we all end up in painful, terrible, difficult places. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions. Listen, there's different kinds of pain. There's the kind that comes from hitting your finger, you know, with a hammer. Then there's the kind that deep in your soul. When you see someone you love in pain and in difficulty and you can't fix it because they have to choose differently. You can pray, you can love, you can't fix them. God even can't fix them. They have to kind of cooperate a little bit. So sometimes what do you pray? Lord, I prayed this for my son. when he wasn't walking with God, and you know, I said, God, whatever it takes, you get a hold of him. Whatever it takes. I said that. I'm not sure I meant it afterwards because I saw what it took. Okay, my son was in difficult places, and you know what? But I meant the prayer when I said it. I said, God, whatever you got to do to him, you get a hold of him, because God has a fierce, relentless love. Okay, it doesn't stop, okay? It doesn't quit. It doesn't give up. It doesn't forget. It forgives. It forgets our sins. It doesn't forget us, though. It forgives all of our sins. If you've never received comfort from anybody in your life, God, the Father, will give you comfort. If you've never received encouragement from anyone in your whole life, God will encourage you. And unlike a earthly father and mother, we, you know, die. You know, we have bad days, you know? God is eternal. God knows all about us. You know, your father and your mother, you can tell them stuff, but they don't know. It's like, what's that all about? I don't know what that's about. God does, because he's God and he made you, you know? I got a napkin instead of napkins are like heavy-duty Kleenex, you know? God understands us from the inside out because what? Because he made us, okay? He made us in whose image? His image. So he made like little duplicates of himself, you know? Okay. And that's kind of what we're called to be, you know? We're called to be his children. And a good father wants his children to do what? Kind of do the things he does because they're good. God of all comfort, who comforts those, who comforts us all in our affliction so that we, listen to this one, he comforts us so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort we received. In other words, he doesn't just give us the comfort for our own sake, but he builds it into our lives. So when you run into another person who's been hurt, maybe in the same way, maybe in a different way, you get it. Oh, you know, gee, I just got divorced from my wife, you know, and I, you know, my son's an alcoholic, and I think I might go to jail for tax fraud. And gee, brother, that sounds pretty rough, man. I'm praying for you, brother. I really am. I'm just hoping things work out for you. And it's like, really? Are you really? I mean, you could say it like that, and you really are doing it. I don't really believe that. How can you enter into another person's life without a couple of things happening? One, it's a risk. When you comfort people, they'll like sometimes give you the back of their hand, like, who asked for your help anyway? Well, that's true. But do we do that to God sometimes too, by the way? You know, do we like say, well, but I got this covered. I can do this. I can take care of this. And then that sometimes, you know, is like, we can't take care of it. We keep trying to take care of it. It falls apart. We get to the bottom. And at the bottom, Corrie Ten Boom said, there is no pit so deep that he's not deeper still. When we have crashed and burned, it all has failed, everything, he's still there. He hasn't forgotten. His fierce, relentless love is still there. Okay? But our purpose is to receive the comfort and to give it back to others. You know, there's an old saying, you can't give what you don't have. If God's given you comfort and encouragement and love, give it back. Let it come from deep inside. You don't have to be a crier like me, get somebody's shirt all wet, you know. You can be strong, and you can be a manly man. You know, you can just be like John Wayne and still give people comfort. That works because God's made us all different for a reason, you know. You know, he didn't want us all to like get bad sunburns, and you know, he didn't want that. You know, he made us all different for a reason. We have different strengths and weaknesses, but he wants us all to resemble him in the respect that if we receive comfort, give it to someone else. And the extent, I have this theory, to the extent that you have been hurt or suffered or received it, the extent that you're capable of entering into the sufferings and hurts, which is why Jesus, it said, learned obedience from the things he did. I mean, Jesus learned obedience? How could he learn anything? He was like God the Son. He was obedient to the Father unto death. Okay, so it's not like God said, you know, I got all these Ten Commandments, you got to obey those. I got all these other things, you got to obey those and stuff like that. And, you know, I'll see how, when you die, we'll check this out, see how it all works out for you and everything. He sent his only begotten Son, whom he loved the most, his only begotten Son, to live on planet Earth among us. By the way, in John's Gospel, he spends as much time talking about Jesus revealing the Father to us as almost anything. I didn't realize that until recently, 2 weeks ago, until I realized how much time John spends by talking about Jesus, talks about the Father, and he are one. And if you've seen me, Jesus, you've seen the Father. What does that mean? Father's up in heaven. He's got a big throne, you know, gold stuff, you know, and all these neat colors. And, you know, he's up there and Jesus down there. What do you mean? I haven't seen him. Just show us the Father, Philip said. Just show us the Father. No, you don't get it. You've seen the essence of the Father through me. Every word I've spoken is the Father's words. Everything I've done is what the Father asked me to do. I've been obedient to him unto death. Because I, too, want you to have fellowship with my Father, or as he says later, you know, my God and your God, you know, he is our Father. God's heart desires us, okay? Not our work, okay? Not our money, not my lousy skill with a impact driver, whatever they call it, you know, none of that. He wants me, okay? He wants you and you and you and you and every single one of us more than anything else. He wants us, okay? That's what it's about. And he won't give up until he's got you, okay? That's kind of who he is. He doesn't quit. He has a relentless, fierce love that never gives up. Listen, I'll be honest with you, sometimes with my kids, it's like, I give up, okay. I've done it. Oh my God! It's like, okay, how much are we torn? I gotta say this. Oh my! I've said this 1,000 times. I'm not gonna say it 1,000 what times, hun? I said my wife's name is April, like the month, hun. I've said this 1,000 times. God is patient. not like me, not like some of you, okay? He never gets tired. You can't wear him out. Those of you who are manly men, right? You're not as strong as he is. I don't care how strong you are. You know you're tough-minded? I don't care how tough-minded you are. You're not that tough, okay? You don't quit. Believe me, when you're my age and you get tired, you'll start to feel it a little bit, brother. You'll start to, you know, you want to take that 2 o'clock nap. Trust me on that, okay? But you know what? He doesn't get tired. He doesn't even go to sleep. It says the shepherd of Israel, like he never sleeps or slumbers. I got to get like my beauty 10 hours in. You know, I got to get it in. He's not tired. He's not surprised. He's not forgetful. Oh, where the heck did I put Joe again? Summit, New York. So why did I put him there? Man, that was a mistake. He knows every detail of your life. He's not surprised by anything you do. You can't surprise him. You can surprise yourself. You can disappoint yourself. You can't surprise him. Okay, so we're past the first part of. We've gotten past the introduction. I think we're into. Okay. So Romans 5:8, reconciled to God. But God, Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love. I say his own love, that means the Father's love, towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, so listen, you know a really good person. He asks you for a favor. Great guy, great woman, great whatever. Asks you for a favor. Well, and they're a really nice person. So you know what? They've done me a lot of favors. I think I'll help them out. You know? That makes sense, right? You have friends, family, whatever. While we were yet sinners, doing this to God and a lot worse than this to God, while we were still in the midst of it all, God said, I'm going to send my son, my beloved son, my only begotten son. One other thing I have to share with you before we get done, if we get, listen, when you're a son, it's one thing, when you're a father, it's very different. When my oldest son, Sean, was born, and I picked him up, my life changed that second. I wasn't the same anymore because I had read about fathers. I had had a father, you know, father. I picked up my son. I go, whoa, half of this guy is me. You know, half of the DNA or chromosome or whatever is me in there. You know, it's like, whoa. You know, it's like I'm responsible for him. You know, I got to take care of him. I have to love him. Wow. You know, and my wife, April, who's a saint in every way, she can do a lot, but she can't do it all. I'm supposed to, like, be part of this game here. You know, it's like, whoa. You know, little tiny thing, this little tiny baby. It's like, whoa, you know. Wow. He says, God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ dies for us. The love he has for his only begotten son was demonstrated. What was the Father's sacrifice? We see Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. I'll tell you what it is because I've experienced a little bit of it. And any of you here have gone through this. When you see your son or daughter in pain, there is almost nothing that a father will not do to relieve that if he can. I know a man who saw his son in a hospital who said, oh God, if only he could take his place and go through what he was going through and save his son, he would. But God went one further. He said, you know what? I'm going to give him up to a terrible death, to rejection, to persecution, to, in a strange way we don't understand, disfellowship with me, so that all this good can come out of it. You see, as a father, even in our love, no much how much we'd sacrifice, we won't sacrifice our son. Abraham is considered a type of the Father. Why? Because he says, yes, I'll do that. And God says, you know, I've looked at you, Abraham, and I've tested you, and I see that you fear God, you respect God. So Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. Some biblical scholars think he thought he'd be raised from the dead. But however it was, okay, sacrificing your son theoretically is one thing. Sacrificing your son whom you love with all of your heart means your heart as a father is breaking. You're seeing him in this and you said, do it. We think God's like Santa Claus. He's a Christmas figure. He's like, you know, kind of soft and fuzzy. I don't think so. Okay? In battle, men give each up their lives for each other. In battle, they do it all the time, by the way. Men and women in battle give up their lives for one another all the time. Okay? We all, you know, you see all those crosses and stuff? How many of those crosses represented men who said, you know what? I'm going to die so that the guy next to me can live. Okay? That's the motivation most people who are military guys will tell you. It's not about, you know, God and country and all that stuff. Maybe it should be, isn't it? It's about the guy next to him. I'm going to give my life up to save him. Jesus, you know, said, Father, yes, I'll do this. And you know what Jesus said from the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. In other words, at the very end, at its worst, he said, I'm doing this because you've asked me to, Lord, my Father. Okay? But the Father was looking down, and it says the sun, you know, for 3 hours didn't shine. I know why that happened, I think. It wasn't because of an eclipse of the sun. That might have been the physical reason. What else could a father do but shut down the whole thing for a while to let the world know how dark it had become because of what was going on? He ripped, right, the veil in half. That was a sign of mourning among the Jewish people, to rip your garment. It was also a sign that the Holy of Holies had been opened up. In other words, his Father's heart of love, greater than any human father's, was broken by the sacrifice of his son, yet he let it happen anyway. Something which most of us could not do. So a couple more things about God the Father, and then we'll... James 1:17 says, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Every good thing. Every single, you know, I'm not a big nature person or a hunter, but I look sometimes at nature and go, holy moly. This is nature in its fallen state. This is with, you know, the fall of man and decay and death and everything. You get up, you walk through, you see what it's like in its fallen state. Can you imagine what it's like not fallen when he recreates the heaven and the earth? We have a bunch of kittens in the barn. We have a bunch of barn kittens. They're the cutest things, you know. You look at them and you go, God, among other things, because your creativity, you have a sense of humor. You look at them jumping around and bouncing and everything, and you go, oh my word, you have the world's greatest sense of humor. I look at animals like birds and stuff, you look at like they some of them do these funny dances with their birds, mating dances and stuff, and they're just hilarious. God has a great sense of humor. After all, he made us, right? He made me. He has to have a sense of humor. I mean, God, every good gift comes from a father who loves us. He's not, listen, in family court, I have some dads who just write checks. Every month they write a check to their kid, and they write a check. Not like that. He doesn't write checks. He is the check. Okay. Next. One of my favorite all-time verses, no doubt about it. It comes from Deuteronomy, which I never knew until I did this stuff. But it says in Deuteronomy 3:16, quoted in Hebrews 13:5 and in other places, Moses says this to the people basically before they enter the promised land. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or tremble at them, meaning the people you're going to throw out of there. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. That's the Father now. This is not Jesus speaking. This is the Father speaking. He says, he will not fail you or forsake you. He will never let go. You can't outrun him. You can't outpunch him. You can't outthink him. You might as well give in, okay? That's who he is, okay? He will not fail you or forsake you. But because of that, I had a friend when I was a kid named Billy Vaca. He's a cardiologist now at Albany Med. He was a really nice kid, a couple years younger than me. We were on the track team together. His dad was a big shot surgeon in Schenectady. He went after his father's footsteps. He's a surgeon. And Billy was like a really laid back, smart kid. And his dad had a Cadillac, which I grew up in a poor, as far as Schenectady. I hadn't seen too many Cadillacs. And his mom used to drive us to the track meets and stuff. And Billy was one of those guys you could see, because of his father and his family and everything. He was smart. He was humble. He wasn't proud of his possessions. He had a lot. He wasn't proud of them. He was confident. You know, he was like, he kind of had it together. He said, you know what? My father's a good guy. My mother's a wonderful person. Have this one. He was good in school and stuff. Became a doctor. He's still the same person. Well, you know what? It says, be strong and courageous. Be confident that your father is way better than Billy Vacca's father, who was a good father, by the way, because you know what? He's God. You know, he's got it all covered. He hasn't forgotten you. He knows what's going on today, tomorrow, next week, next month, into eternity. In other words, you can kind of exhale, right? Exhale. Oh, man. Exhale. It's great to just like put down everything and go, you know what? I don't have this covered. Believe me, I don't have this covered. I don't have the kids figured out. I don't have my wife figured out after 43 years. Do not have her figured out. I don't have much of life figured out, but I have this much figured out. I have a father who's got it all figured out. I don't need to have it figured out because he does. And if I am willing to get down on my knees before him or sit in the chair or walk out in nature, whatever it does to allow you to get close to the Father, he's willing to share it with me. Not for information purposes, like, oh, Joe, you need to know the following information, database. No, because he wants your life to be transformed by his love. And if you don't sit down and fellowship with somebody, how can you know them? If you can't know them, how can you love them? Blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? It's like he really, really loves us. Okay, next. What time do we really have to get done? It's 20 of 12. Just, no, no, okay. Soon, we're almost done. The Lord disciplines. Okay, here's the part nobody likes. I knew he was going to talk about this. I knew that we're going to get to this part. Uh-oh, here we come to the bad part. Principal's office time. Here we go. The Lord disciplines those whom he loves. Proverbs 3:11. My son, don't reject the discipline of the Lord, or loathe, which is a big old-fashioned word for really hate, his reproof, which is like him telling you that you did something wrong. For whom the Lord loved, he reproves, even as a father reproves the son, in whom he delights. He delights. Do you get it? In other words, when he does that to you, like the dog on the chair, when he pulls you like short and goes, Joe, I don't think so. This is a big mistake. This is like, stop right now. It means he really, really loves you, because that's why he spends the trouble to tell you you're really, really wrong in this thing you're doing. And he's not a softy. Some people, okay, everybody's different. Some people, I had kids, some of whom were like, I could wear my hand out on their backside and my hand would get sore and that would be it. They just, I had my daughter, Tara. If I said to her, Tara, hon, I don't think what you do. Oh, no! She starts, like, crying. It's like, I didn't get to say it. I was like, Tara, I think maybe you should, like, do this. So we're all different. And guess what? God knows we're all different. Some of us need a 2x4. Those of us who need a 2x4, don't raise your hands. I know who you are because I'm one of them. You know? Okay. Some of us need a 2x4. That's what it takes to get our attention. I mean, big time. Okay, you know, okay, so it didn't work out this time, God, but I'm pretty sure the next time it's going to work out. Boom! It's like, boom. Oh, it really hurts. Boom! You know, finally, like, you're down on the ground and everything. Go, God, what was that thing you were talking about again? Okay, some of us, he says, listen, Tara, my daughter, Tara, hon, I want you to do this. Tara's like, yes, I'll do that. Right? In other words, some of us have a gentle, sensitive spirit. Some of us are lumberjack types. And some of us are in between, okay? Some of us are Norwegians, right? Ufta, right? You know? And some of us, you know, are like, you know, from Nigeria. We have different personalities, different. It's not about that. It's about saying, Lord, I want to be teachable. I want you to correct me, because if you don't correct me, you know who God has to bring in then, don't you? He has to bring in sometimes the world to correct. You know, sometimes if God can't get your attention one way, he gets it the other way, you know. You know, sometimes, you know, in Israel's history, they got corrected by the surrounding peoples because they would not obey God. And so, you know, Assyrians, Babylonians, blah, blah, blah. So it's better to receive reproof and correction from the one who loves you than maybe God having to use instruments, which aren't quite so fun. Okay, we talked about God's creation and stuff. One thing I would just want to say about Genesis. In Genesis, God created man in his own image. He created a male and female. You know, all this stuff about feminism, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Guess what? Okay? God created all of us in his image, male and female. There, you know, and in the scriptures, I don't remember the scripture now, it says there's no Greek or Hebrew, there's no male or female, there's no slavery. You know what? At the foot of the cross, it's all level, you know? In other words, there is no reason for you to glory in the fact that you're X or Y, because he created all of us in his image. All of us, male and female, every race, creed, color, everything. But he says at the end of this verse in Genesis 1:27, God says, God saw that he had all he had made, and behold, this is the sixth day, it was very good. It was good all the other days. The sixth day was very good. In other words, God is, you know, unlike me, is a really good builder, okay? A really good sheetrock guy, a really good carpenter, a really good engineer, a really good chemist, a really good physics, better than all the people today, even. Einstein discovered the theory of relativity, if it's right, some people think it's wrong, quantum physics and stuff, but you know what? God created the whole universe out of a spoken word. You know what I'm saying? So it's great. I'm glad Albert Einstein's a smart guy and we give out prizes and stuff, but God looked at his creation of us and said it was very good. So we have a father who looks at us and says, very good. I think I will stop here at adoption. Okay. How did we get into the family of God? How did we do this? In Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Did you hear that? Lawyers do these terms, like every, all, never, no. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him, that is, that God the Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Okay, before he spoke the world into existence, he chose you to be his child before the world was created. Think about it. You know, you had precedence. you were like first class. Oh, I must be in the front row as one of my favorite. God thought about you before he thought about the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything else. He says, before the foundation of the world, he says, just as the Father chose us in him, Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In other words, he knows we're stupid, okay? He knows we're sinful. He gets all that. He understands that, okay? But he's got a better plan for us. Don't be stupid, you know? Don't be stubborn. Don't be like that. In other words, be like my son, okay? Be like me. In other words, I think I'll need to send the Holy Spirit to help you out with this thing because I don't think you can do that on your own. In other words, I got the plan figured out. You know, Jim Michael, I embarrass him again. One of Jim's greatest gifts, besides electrical work and all that stuff, is his planning. He looks at something and sees 16 steps down the road. I look at it and go, Jim, what are we going to do today? And Jim goes, oh, well, we got to do this and then that and then that. He's like, what are you like, you know, what are you talking about? Just what are we going to do today? Meaning, what do I have to do right now with this board to get in the, like, but Jim is like, oh, no, this goes there and that goes there. We got. So Jim has a mind for figuring those things out, okay? You know, like chess masters, they think 20... Well, God is like the world's greatest at this because he knew before he created the world, he wanted you in it and he wanted you saved and he made you. Because guess what? He didn't have to make you. I don't care how you were born, whether you know your own mother or father, or don't even know their identity, people are the children of rape and stuff. God wanted you born and he wanted you saved. I guarantee you of that. I don't care what the world says. God wants you here, alive, well, saved, and with him in heaven, because that's who he is. He predestined us to adoption as sons, or children, I should say, through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In other words, nobody made God do this stuff. Nobody like put a gun through his head and said, oh, you got to fix this now, it's a mess. He chose freely to do this. And the other thing is, he gives us freedom of choice. We have the ability to choose him or not in salvation. We have the ability to walk with him or not. I ask us, and not you guys, us, you know, I'm pointing, okay, to have a heavenly father like that, okay? And not to call him on the phone every couple weeks. I mean, not to say, you know, not to just to have 20 minutes of prayer in the morning. I mean, all day long, to discover what it is to say to the Father while you're driving the car, while you're messing up the sheetrock, while you're doing whatever it is, say, you know, to be able to have an ongoing conversation with all day long, because He's your Father, He loves you and He cares about you and He knows. That's the one of the greatest blessings that we have. And to then to transmit that to those around us, that, you know what, God didn't just save us from sin, He saved us for fellowship with Himself. Okay, I got way too much stuff here, but I'm going to stop there because I think I should. But listen, I just want to encourage you to be encouraged in who God our Father is. And He's not just our Father, but He's your Father, okay? Yours. You belong to Him. He belongs to you. You belong to each other. You have eternal security, not as a theological doctrine, but as an everyday experience and as an eternal reality. So let's share the good news, okay? Let's share the good news that Jesus came to show, to reveal the Father, and to reveal Him in us. Okay, Ray, would you pray for us? Closure, please. Thank you.
Oh, Lord.